Okay. I guess I got to stand in front of this thing. Can you guys hear me okay? I don't know if that was a yes or no. No? There we go. I think she just cranked me up a little bit. Anyway, well, tonight I'm going to be talking about beautiful feet, you know, the feet that bring the good news. And before I get started, I just wanted to say I hope you guys are all having a good time. You're having a good time? Everybody? That's good. You're getting a lot out of the lessons and stuff. Okay, and I just want to say I appreciate y'all being flexible with our change of plans because of our little friends, the bugs, at the hotel. And I thought it would be appropriate to throw in a little humor about gnats before we get started, so I have a little joke for you. Okay. So there's this fly, and a gnat lands on his back. The fly says, "Is that a gnat on my back?" The gnat says, "Gnat at all." The fly says, "That's the worst pun I've ever heard." The gnat says, "What do you expect? I made it up on the fly." Anyway, there you go. That's just, get that up. We're trying to have some humor with it, because there for a minute it wasn't really that funny around about Thursday night. So anyway, okay, so anyway, on to my lesson. We're going to be talking about bringing the good news to people. And if we're going to be like Jesus and walking in his steps, we're going to be sharing the news, good news with people, because he was all about that. And in Romans 10, 14 through 15, that's kind of the main verse for this lesson. Let me read that to you. He says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Okay, it's funny that this verse says it's beautiful, because it doesn't always feel that way, does it? In fact, I know that this is a very tough topic, and that, you know, it's not a topic that many people get excited about. And part of the reason we made this the main class is because we knew if it was a breakout class, there might be like three people that would choose to go hear it. You know, because it's a tough topic, and who wants to go hear about something you already feel guilty about that you're not doing very well at? So, you know, and really the main feelings that this topic bring up are guilt, fear, discouragement, inadequacy. You know, I think that's the main things that come up. And, you know, some of us here do very well at sharing our faith. Some of us are new, and we're still learning how to do it. But I think most of us probably fall into the fear, guilt, discouragement, inadequacy. In fact, I mean, wouldn't you, do a lot of you feel that way about sharing your faith? I think I do, I know. And I think it's something we all need to grow in, and it's definitely something we need to talk about. I know it's definitely something I need to grow in, and I think about over the last 35 years since I've been a Christian, I was thinking about a lot of things that I've done to try and share my faith. You know, of course, we've all done a lot of different things, but, you know, I was thinking, done door knocking and inviting people and all that. And there was a time where I was kind of known for taking cabbage to people out of my garden. People that fell away, I would chase them down and, you know, try to be in touch with them. And one time I made a bet with a lady at work. This was like, I don't know, 30 years ago probably. But we had a bet, and whoever won the bet, whoever lost the most weight won. And so we tied. We both lost the same amount of weight. So I had to wash and degrease her truck. And she had to come to church twice with her, you know. And she did become a Christian. In fact, she's been to church the last two Sundays. It's Kathy Spangler. I know some of you know her. But you know, it's just funny. You know, there are a lot of things that we've done over the years to try and reach out to people, but I still don't feel like I really look at this the way God intends for me to. And I think about Greater Alton over the last 25, 30 years, too, what we've done. And, you know, we've done a lot of good things over the last 25, 30 years. But I think we have also missed the mark in some ways, too, you know. And I think some of the times we've, you know, sometimes we've tried to share our faith just to relieve our own guilt. And sometimes we've tried to share our faith because we're trying to build a good ministry, or we're trying to, you know, grow the church. Sometimes we just didn't do it because we were selfish. Sometimes we shared our faith because we knew someone was going to ask us about it. You know, how many did you invite this week? Sometimes we just quit sharing our faith because we got discouraged. And, you know, we felt like the results were up to us, so we just quit. And And I think now one of the main things I see is we quit sharing our faith because no one is asking us about it. You know, we don't talk about it a whole lot, so we've kind of just pushed it to the side. And, you know, it is something that's on my mind a lot. And a lot of times it's guilt and feeling like, gosh, I need to do something more. But the last couple of months I've been thinking about this a lot because I knew I was going to talk about it. And I've been asking God what He thinks I should say and just trying to, you know, find out how God looks at this and how we ought to look at it. And so this is what I've come up with. I've got 4 points here for you. The first one is, I must believe it is good news. And I don't know if you realize how many times the word good news is used in the Bible, because we don't usually call it good news. We say we're sharing our faith, but the good news is used 93 times in the New Testament in the contemporary English version, and it's used 30 times in the NIV. So it kind of sounds like a big deal, doesn't it, if it's used that many times in the Bible. Okay, and so first I think we need to kind of have a definition of what the good news is. And if you could just sum it up quickly, I would say the good news is that we can be part of the kingdom of God, and that God sent Jesus to die and raise Him to life so that our sins could be forgiven. And if you read Titus 2:11, I think this verse gives a definition of what the good news actually is. It says, God has shown us how kind He is by coming to save all people. He taught us to give up our wicked ways and our worldly desires and to live decent and honest lives in this world. We are filled with hope as we wait for the glorious return of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave Himself to rescue us from everything that is evil and to make our hearts pure. He wanted us to be His own people and to be eager to do right. I think that kind of sums up what the good news is. And I think, and under each point, I got a little question to ask yourself, because obviously this is all about application. You know, what are we going to do with this? So ask yourself, do you really see following Jesus as good news? And that's something I think you need to think about, not just right now, because, I mean, it really makes me think. And, you know, if you don't see it as good news, then there's a problem. You know, you're probably not looking at it the right way, and it is a big deal. And, you know, good news is only good news in the midst of bad news, right? And, so that's the good news. But the bad news is that there are lost people that aren't part of God's kingdom. They haven't heard the good news or accepted it or obeyed the good news. And they need someone to tell them the good news. And let me read Isaiah 61 real quick here. I think it starts in verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, so there are people around us who are poor, they're brokenhearted, they're captive in their sin, they're in prison, they're in darkness, and they're lost, and they really do need the good news. And, you know, so we have to remember that it is good news. We also have to remember there's bad news. And while I was looking around for stuff, I found this YouTube video, and it was actually a children's ministry YouTube. It was these two guys, and they were doing a video. They had Diet Coke, Kathy, and they had Mentos. You all know the Diet Coke and Mentos thing. Okay, well, their little object lesson was the Diet Coke was us and the Mentos was the good news. And they were going to do a little experiment and see if you put the good news in, if you could hold it in. So obviously they put all the Mentos in, sprays all over the place, because you can't hold the good news in. And, you know, that just really struck me, because it was sort of like just a fact, like the law of gravity. You can't put good news in and it not come out. You know, you don't win $1 million and not tell anybody. Or, you know, we could think of a bunch of good things that happen. So if that's true, then what's the problem? You know, because if we're not sharing the good news, if it's not coming back out, then something's wrong. Like either our Diet Coke is flat, or, you know, we didn't put enough Mentos in, good news. You know, so something's wrong. But anyway, think about that, because that really did strike me, you know, and I think that's true. If we believe it's good news and it's in our life, then it's going to come out and we're going to share it. And if we're not sharing it, then there's something wrong. There's something missing there. So And I think one of the things we need to do is to do something so we won't forget about the good news. And one of the things that I have done, and I think this is a God thing. You guys, a lot of you have heard me talk about my friend Robbie. He is a preacher in India, just a young man that I got hooked up with by another friend in Edwardsville. And he does a lot of things in India with the widows and the orphans. And, you know, I guess in India it's a lot different than it is here. The government doesn't do much to help widows and orphans. And they do a lot of things to help take care of them. And while they do, they share God with them, share the good news with them. And, you know, he's a young guy, and he actually texts me like two or three times a week. And it's so encouraging to me because he's always telling me what's going on. And he's praying for our ministry. He's praying for my son. He's praying for our church. He even texted me yesterday. He went down by the river to pray for the ladies' retreat for us. And so it's been very good for me to have him in my life. And it keeps me thinking about, you know, what's going on. Because I think he's like, in my mind, he's in the trenches, you know. There's a Hindu temple close by his church, and he's right in there where these people don't even know about God. You know, most of them believe they're Hindu, and they actually get threatened. And so it's been very good for me to have him in my life to remind me what the good news is and that I need to be out there helping people. And actually, I mean, and we help him do his job so he can help share with the widows and orphans too. And he made a video with the widows and orphans and sent it to us. And I'm going to have Jesse go ahead and show that.
Hello, Susan.
His English is not very good, by the way.
How are you? I'm Pastor Ravi from India, the Ambulance Ministries. It is a great privilege to be in this great children. Because you know that all the children, it's somehow no father, somehow no mother. Anyhow, the children is sometimes, you know, suffering. But by the law, we are giving a gross power for them. I'm so glad for these children teaching the word of God. Sometimes I used to help them for the needs and cloth and food. And also, this is the leaders are here. This is also leaders who are here. The leaders also sometimes, you know, we are giving gospel for them. It's the love of God, the word of God. Sometimes we used to help them. Sometimes we're really happy for them because they are coming to Christ. They are knowing about Christ. We are very grateful to you people from USA. I know that God is really giving great time for these people. We are making great things about God. You know, actually we have children, totally 195 orphan children. This is a main place, and we have another places also at the village side. And also, the 195 widows are somehow here, and we have other places, two places also, widows and orphan children. The totally orphan children, 190 people, are totally widows, 105 people. So, we need sometimes a medication also. We need sometimes the transport also. We are doing very faithfully. We thank you so much, Susan and Keith. Once again, say hallelujah.
I know, that part cracks me up too, but I don't like all that Susan and team in there and stuff, but they're very grateful people, and they actually are really growing a lot. I forgot what he's told me, all the numbers and stuff, but I just think it's really cool, though, because, you know, they are reaching out to a lot of widows and orphans, and like he said, there's like 195 of them, and there used to be like, I don't know, 10, 20, something like that. How would you like to have that little room for children's ministry, Elena? Do you see how those kids are all... Anyway... So I just think that's something that's been very good for me. And we send money to them to help them. And I just want to throw out, too, if anyone here is interested in helping out, you can see me later. Throwing that out there. And also, Ravi is single, and he is a young man. And he is... They believe in prearranged marriages there, and he is looking for a godly woman. And so if he comes to the USA, Cassie Clark is already volunteered. She is all over that. So he's supposed to be coming in June, so Cassie, you better get ready. But you know, it is true. This is a side note, but truthfully, I was texting him one day, and he said, "Did I have a daughter?" I'm like, "Yeah, I got a daughter. How old is she?" 16. Oh. He was wanting to find out about my daughter. I'm like, no. I have a rule. Jesse's not allowed to marry anyone international. So anyway, okay, so that's the first thing. We must believe it's good news. The second thing, I need to see God's part in sharing the good news. There's two jobs in sharing the good news. There's our part and there's God's part. And I think sometimes, you know, some of us have been around here for a long time. I think our methods sometimes get in the way because... You know, we've been trained. You invite somebody to church. You ask them if they want to study the Bible. You go through these studies with them. You become their best friend, and poof, they become a Christian. You know, sort of like A plus B plus C equals D. And I think that's partly why we get discouraged sometimes, is because we think the results are up to us instead of us just being faithful with what God puts in front of us. And, you know, so if you think about... When it comes to bringing the good news to people, what does God do? First thing I see that He does is He leads us by His Spirit. And if you look in Acts chapter 8:29, you guys know the story of the eunuch and Philip. It says the Spirit told Philip to catch up with the chariot the eunuch was on. Okay, have you guys ever tried to talk to your teenager while you're driving in a car and you're talking, you get no response, all of a sudden you turn around, they got their earbuds in? Or, you know, like nowadays when people are walking around all the time with their earbuds in, and, you know, like sometimes Michael will come to work and he's got his earbuds in and he's got Melissa inside his head and I don't know it, you know, because he's on the phone and you're talking to him and you're like, you don't know they're on the phone, you know. I feel like sometimes that's the way we are with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something, but we're not listening, so we don't hear it. You know, we're not looking for the Holy Spirit to lead us. But that's one of the things God does, is leads us to people who are looking for the good news. Second thing God does is He changes hearts and grants repentance. 2 Timothy 2:25, it says the opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth. So, you know, we're the witnesses. We share the good news of what God's done, and God does His part. And I just want to share this little story with you, thinking about, because... You know, God doing His part, because sometimes we're afraid, we feel inadequate, like we don't know what to do. It was just about a month ago, the lady who is responsible for getting me and my mom to church passed away. And she invited my mom to church, and the very first thing she started talking to my mom about was instrumental music, you know, and how you shouldn't have it. And she didn't talk to her about God or Jesus first, instrumental music. You know, and there is probably a more effective way to reach out to people. But we still became Christians. We're both Christians today. And, you know, God bless her. She was trying to do her part. And thank God for her. You know, she came at a very important time in my life. But, you know, God used her still to get us there. And then He took it from there. You know, God granted us repentance. So, you know, it's just a story to encourage you. If you don't know what to do, do something, you know, and let God do His part. Third thing, God gives us courage to tell the good news. Acts 4:20, it says, "We are your servants, so make us brave enough to speak your message." So ask yourself, do you have a clear understanding of what your job is and what God's job is? Third thing, start seeing people. You guys all know that motorcycle slogan. It's that time of year, start seeing motorcycles, you know, trying to make people aware of it. And, you know, we need to start seeing the people in front of us. And I just want to throw this out here. I think about this off and on, but in the Alton-Godfrey area, there are around 45,000 people. In Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, there's around 37,000. There's around 2,500 teens at Edwardsville High, around a couple thousand teens at Alton High. There's around 14,000 people at SIU, and I don't know how many thousands at Lewis and Clark. But out of all those people, how many of those people do you think are looking for answers? How many of those people go to bed at night and ask God for help? You know, people are looking for something. And, you know, Jesus saw those people as helpless and harassed. And we're being like Jesus when we help the people that God puts in front of us. And, you know, to see them and have compassion for them and to want them to have what we have, you know, to look at those people. And, you know, and not to do it because we're supposed to, because we feel guilty or because somebody will ask us. We do it because we want to be like Jesus and we care about what he cares about, which is people being saved. And I've been practicing this. This is not something I normally do, but obviously this has been on my mind a lot. So I've been practicing this the last several weeks. So, you know, when I get ready to go to town, which, you know, I work from home, and yes, we live in the country, so we call it going to town. I know you live in town, but anyway, so I try to think about it. When I go to town, I start looking at people and I think, she needs the good news. He needs to hear the good news. Or I look at them and think, maybe this is a person who's been praying and God has put me in their pathway. You know, I'm the Philip and that's the eunuch that God wants me to, you know. So I'm trying to see people and look at them and think about this, that they need the good news. I'm trying to be more conscious of it. And actually, I mean, who knows? I've been inviting more people, talking to more people. I went to Kohl's not long ago and this girl started talking to me a lot, actually. So I was like, she's talking to me. Maybe she wants me to say something. So we talked. We were friendly talking. I invited her to church. She stopped talking. But who knows, you know. So next question, ask yourself, am I letting the Spirit lead me and seeing the people in front of me? Okay, my last point, I see myself differently and I do my job. And, you know, the way we look at things makes a big difference, doesn't it? And we need to see this the way God sees this. And first of all, you need to see yourself as the light of the world. Because that's what he calls us. He says we are the light of the world. And Philippians 1:27, it says, above all else, you must live in a way that brings honor to the good news about Christ. Then whether I visit you or not, I will hear that all of you think alike. I will know that you are working together and that you are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. You know, so we like shine the light so people know where to go. And the second thing about our job is I need to accept that I am appointed by God to do a job. This verse right here to me really kind of clinches this whole thing. I mean, because, you know, you can talk about what are we supposed to do, does he spell things out. But when you read this verse, it's pretty clear what God had in mind for us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, an ambassador, you all know this, it's an official diplomat that represents a country for a special assignment. So, you know, he's saying that's what we are. We represent God, and we have a special assignment. I'm an ambassador, and God wants to use me to reconcile others to him. And this is another thought question you should go home and think about. Ask yourself, what kind of ambassador am I? Okay, kind of wrapping this up a little bit. If you look in the Bible, there's many examples of how people shared the good news. I just wanted to run down these. And then just to throw out there, we need to try all of these. You know, when you're thinking about sharing the good news and you're loving people and wanting to see them be saved, you're just going to have these on your mind. You're going to try all of these things. So, you know, think about these. Matthew, he had a party with sinners and had Jesus there. Peter, he used straight talk. He told people to repent and be baptized. Dorcas, she helped the poor people and showed them Jesus. Paul says he reasoned and used intellect to convince people. He also prayed for boldness to share the good news. Philip, he looked at the scriptures and explained them to the eunuch. The woman at the well, she told everyone to come and see. The scattered disciples, everywhere they went, they told the good news. The women helping Paul, They help him share the good news. And it said that their names were written in the book of life. And the disciples prayed for people's hearts to change and for God to open doors. So those are some good examples for us. We just need to try and do all of those. And to wrap this up, I just want to say this is not at all about trying to make us feel guilty. You know, I would just like all of us to try and think, do I look at this the way God does? And what changes do I need to make to be more like Jesus and trying to share the good news with other people? Because it really is a beautiful thing. I mean, you guys have been involved in studying the Bible with people and seeing them get right with God. It is an honor to be part of that. And it is a beautiful thing to see people be reconciled with God. And, you know, it's something that God wants us to do. So I just want to encourage you guys all to let God use you to do that. And we have a video now we want to show you of some women in our church. And they have shared with us different ways that they, different things they do to share the good news. Okay, go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, my name is Susan, and I have several ladies from the Greater Elm Church to tell us their stories of how they share the good news.
I'm Stephanie Takersley. I met my friend Michelle Raymer here at the church. Her daughter's aunt invited her here, Sheila Louvier, and we just really hit it off the first time that she came, and we met for coffee and talked about God and about our lives and motherhood, and was able to say the Bible with her, and now her and her husband are followers of God, and they put their trust and their faith in Him, and their family dynamic has totally changed. She was able to share her faith with her parents, who didn't know God, and it's amazing to see how brave and bold she is and courageous she is, a woman of God, and I just thank God for bringing her here and having this opportunity.
Hi, my name is Suzanne Simpson, and I'm part of the prayer ministry at Greater Elm Church. What we do is pray for all of our congregation. We pray for the people that are in the request. We ask that God to help us spread the good news and to help us see our salvation as well as other people's salvation. The people in our ministry are there to pray for everyone and help to spread the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Gina Law. I share the good news with my children about God by making Him real. When they were little, I wanted them to believe that God could be sitting there right beside Him. So anytime they would fall or get hurt, and we put a Band-Aid on it, we would pray that God would heal it. And then, miraculously, a couple days later, the cut would be healed, or the wound would be healed, and they would believe that God actually healed it. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to make them also know that God can be anywhere with them, at school, on the bus, during a test, in any type of situation. So whenever they didn't know what to do or whatever answer they were looking for or whatever decision that they had to make, that God wasn't this being that was floating somewhere and couldn't answer their questions. He was there with them. And so to pray during any situation, and just like a father figure, He might give you a yes and He might give you a no. So that's how I share the good news, is by making that real for my children.
Hi, I'm Jesse Chappell,
and I'm Mary Napoli.
When I think about sharing the good news, one of the things that I really try to focus on is being as selfless as I can and trying to become all things to all men. One of the ways, you know, we really try to utilize our cross chat and by inviting people to that. And I mean, a lot of times people will come to cross chat and I feel like I won't have any common ground with them, or, you know, I don't necessarily like hanging out with that kind of person or whatever it is, but I always try to, you know, like, figure out, you know, how can I relate to this person, you know, whether it's like listening to music I don't like, or like listening to them talk to it about something that I don't necessarily find interesting, and, you know, just trying to become like a good friend. And then, you know, from there, I try to just be in their lives and just try to set up studies and just be the kind of friend that I want someone to be to me.
Yeah, and I have this friend who's been, I've been around for a little while, if she just had been going through a really rough time, I've been trying to show her the good news through me.
Hello, my name is Rhonda Brandon, and I'm Kathy Chestnut.
Susan asked us to talk about what we do to share the good news with people, and I wanted to start off with how, when they first come to their own, what we do. I am not somebody who is very outgoing, and I don't really like meeting new people, so it's been hard for me to just walk up to somebody I don't know and say hello. But then I got to thinking about all the other churches that I've been to where I've walked in, and nobody has said anything to me from the time I walk in until the time I leave. I didn't like that feeling, you know. And so when people come here, what I think about is all of those times and how can I make them comfortable being here at our church. You know, so that's kind of the way I go at it is, you know, I walk up to them, I want them to feel comfortable, because the more comfortable they feel talking to me, the more they're gonna like it, you know. So make them feel comfortable, and then you just stay with them until somebody else comes up and introduces themselves, you know, and you just keep somebody there with them at all times. Show them the building, you know, show them where your kids need to go, you know. You introduce them to other people that might be able to help them meet somebody else.
And in the last few years, I have met quite a few ladies like that, and been introduced to a lot of ladies that I try to just get to know, to befriend them. I get their phone number, I text them and call them, and just make sure they know I'm thinking about them. And I want them to know that we care about them. So we invite them to a lot of things we do. We invite them out to eat, or movies, or play, or book club, or trivia night. They get together, do rondas. We have a lot of different kinds of rondas. And we just are available for them, and we let them know how much we care. And I think it works really well, because I feel like those ladies, they really appreciate that. They want to be mom, they want somebody to talk to. Oftentimes they just want to talk, or if they want to fight. But then we build friendships that way, and we build relationships that can lead to, when they're ready to talk about the Bible, and ready to study, and ready to learn about being a Christian, you know, then the foundation is there, and the friendship is there, and it works.
And I'm a part of campus ministry here at Greater Alton, and to share the good news, I participate in teaching on campus, one thing being the international orientation that they held a couple years ago, where I met my friend Allison from Nigeria. So I spent the whole day taking her and her mother around campus and introducing them to different parts of the school and also to our community at her school, and just got to really know her, and then invited her to church and then asked her to study the Bible, and she decided to get baptized and became a Christian, and she's become one of my closest friends, and now she also tries to share the good news with others, and we're such good friends, she got me this shirt.
Hi, my name is Alina Love, and I just wanted to share with you why I share the good news in the children's ministry. The first reason I think I share the news. The good news in the children's ministry is because somebody shared it with me. Now, as an adult, I think back of my time in the children's ministry when it was Tim and Denise and Robert Donvogel and a bunch of other people, my parents, who used to take the time to teach. And when I read my Bible and I read different stories, I still hear their voices and the different sound effects or the different illustrations that they used when they taught me those stories. And it's helpful to me today because I know I have a good foundation. And I know that I want other children to have that foundation. When I think about my children being back here, I want them to know what it means to have a relationship with God. And I want them to have friends who believe the same thing. And I want them to have a safe place with other adults who are sharing with them what they know about God. These are my good examples. But the other adults, my teachers, my friends that I have at church, they believe in God too. And so it's important to me that there is a good children's ministry, because I believe in these kids, and I know they're not just the future of the church, but the church right now. They're sharing with their friends, and they're sharing with their families, and I learned so much just by being back there with them. And this summer, I was at church camp, and John was at church camp too, and there was this little girl that always sat next to him every night before I put devotional, the same girl every single night. Wanted to say, "Give me a seat, John. Let me sit next to you, John. I want to sit next to you at the fire pit devotional." And at the end of the week, she said, "I wish I could come home with you. I wish you were my dad." And the reason I want to share Jesus with these kids is because not all of them have the greatest home life. And they have a place where they can go where the people love them, and Jesus loves them, and God loves them, and they're learning that although the world may be terrible, although they may not have what they wanted, they have a place where they know they have a big God no matter what, who always loves them, and they have other adults who love them no matter what. And that, those kind of things are what make me want to keep loving and serving and showing the Jesus.
Hi, I'm Susan. I've been asked to share my story. I was at the mall one day and waiting in a long line for eat at a restaurant. And it crept slowly forward, and then as I got right to the beginning, and the lady asked me, how many. I looked at the lady that I had noticed behind me, and she was a single also, and I just invited her to lunch, which she accepted very graciously. So we sat and talked for a little while about family and where we were from, just nothing in particular. When her food came, I asked if she would pray with me, and she was very happy to do that. We prayed, and she asked me how long I had been a Christian, and I told her about 5 years. She shared with me that she was a brand new Christian and that she was struggling somewhat. Her family was not supportive. She was looking for a church. She found one that she thought she liked, but wasn't really sure, so she was searching for churches in her area. And she asked me to share my story, and I did. And at the end of it, she said, are you baptized? And I said, well, actually twice. I was baptized when I was 13 years old and had not a clue, just because I thought that was the thing to do. It did not transform my life. And I told her that when I came to Greater Alton, I did a Bible study with a couple of ladies from the church. And at the end of that study, they asked if I wanted to be baptized. And I told her that I declined at that point. I was not sure. My former church, salvation, was not determined on baptism in any way. And I just wanted to be baptized for the right reasons. I wasn't sure about it at that time. She said, well, how did you decide? Because I'm really struggling with this too. The church that I like insists on baptism as a precursor for salvation. And she said, I just don't feel that way. So I relayed a story that Alan had a conversation with me, and I was telling him about my struggle. And he said, Susan, I don't profess to know everything about the Bible or everything about God or even everything about this issue. But I know one thing. You can over and over and over again in the Bible find places where it says that God finds baptism pleasing. And he said, who wouldn't want to please God? And I told her, I said, that transformed me. At that point, I knew that I was okay with this, that I felt that way too. Why wouldn't I want to please God? And I looked in her face, and she was a little teary-eyed, but had this wonderful look on her face, and she said, God has put us together. I know he has for this very reason. And she said, it's a wonderful story, and she said, I think I can do this. I'm going to go back to the church that I like the most and tell them that I'm ready. And we laughed and talked and had a 2-hour lunch that day. And I just find that when I can a situation where I can help people, I know that God is working in me right at that moment, and it makes me feel so loved and so joyful and so blessed.
Thank all you ladies for sharing your stories. Those were very good. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then Sue and Janet are going to come up and tell us a few things. So, God, we just want to take a minute right now, and I would just like to pray about us all sharing the good news with the people out there. God, we know there are so many people that are lost, so many people that don't know you, don't have a right relationship with you. And I pray, God, that you will help all of us to start paying attention more to what you want us to do with those people and to let you lead us and guide us into sharing the good news with them. And, Father, just to help us not be selfish and to think about what a beautiful thing it is to bring good news to people who are who have so much bad news around them, God. They need to hear that you love them and care about them. And I know, God, right now there's a lot of people around us. And I just pray, God, that you will help us to reach out to those people. God, thank you so much as somebody shared the good news with us. And thank you, God, for sending Jesus for us and letting us be part of your kingdom, God, and giving us the life with purpose and the joy and peace that you've given us, Father. And we do pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.